Okay. So I'm already making really good money as a rep. You're telling me that if I bust tail, kick ass over the next 5 years, I'll have less freedom and I'll be managed more? Something's not computing here. So I tell people, look at your boss's boss. And that's a pretty good indication if you should leave that job or if you should stick it out.
Welcome to the High Value Skills Podcast. I am your host, Simon Parsons, and this is the show dedicated to helping millennials move away from a career that you hate and build an online business that you love, one that gives you the freedom and the income that you deserve. Now, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Let's dive in. Brian, it is such an honor to have you here. I feel like you and I have such a similar passion on helping people move away from something that they hate doing in life and make money with what they do love. How are you doing today?
I mean, I'm loving what I'm doing, you know, so that works out perfectly, right? Oh, man, it's a really cool game in life to play. I think most people play the wrong games for most of their life and they're asking the wrong questions, but a really cool game to play is, if I had all the money in the world, what would I do, right? Like, what's a day look like? Nobody thinks to answer or ask those questions. So, you know, I asked that question years ago, and now today is the answer. So you and I were just talking about, you know, struggles, problems, which never go away. With each new level, there's a new devil. But, you know, you can choose which problems that you want to do, and you could choose which version of hard you run with, because things will always be hard. But if you're on fire for the thing, like, that's what makes everything worth it. Because without struggle, without friction, whatever thing that you want to accomplish is pointless if it's just easy, right?
Absolutely. I have to have you share your story because you are an absolute hero for so many people. And I want my audience to hear the story of what made you into the superhero that you are. You are an absolute badass and you've got a fun story. I was absolutely enthralled to hear it. I know a little bit more about it, but I bet you there's a lot of people in my audience that don't know who you are, and I want them to hear this story, and then we'll start diving into how to actually make this happen, how to do what you love instead of letting life slip by and then getting to the end and wishing that you would have instead of being glad that you did. Tell me about your backstory.
Yeah, you know, I started with a small inheritance of $100 million and with a lot of hard work turned into $90 million, right? No, I very traditional upbringing, middle class family, didn't have money, didn't talk about money. Of course not. So I went to college, did that thing, did the next best thing, go into corporate. So I was in corporate B2B sales immediately after graduating. And as I did that, I immediately was super hungry because I realized I get better, I make more money. Fun, right? Great concept. Capitalism, pass it on. And so I got really good, man. I did the 80-hour weeks, the blood, sweat, and tears. I read the books, listened to the podcast, did my trainings. I asked people for advice that were senior reps in the company in the country. And I made it to the top of the company. I was number 8 out of 5,079 for that position. I still have my awards in the back because they're sentimental to me. Because it was the first time I accomplished something really, really difficult. Because I wasn't just number 8 out of like 30 sales reps. I was number 8 out of 5,079. So I was the top of the United States in my position. And so I won all the awards. Rep of the year, rookie of the year, diamond level. And they said, we're going to promote you and then promote you and then promote you. I said, oh, cool. Everything I've ever wanted. Until when you get promoted or they're gearing you up for promotion, then you get to shadow your manager, right? And you follow them around for a day or for a week. And so I did that with my manager at the time, my sales manager, and then my VP. So I followed my VP around and I was just like, dude, your life sucks. Like, your life is awful. He was booked in 15-minute increments on a Zoom calls every single day for his calendar. He had less freedom than I had, which is the major key takeaway was I said, okay, so I'm already making really good money as a rep. You're telling me that if I bust tail, kick ass over the next 5 years, I'll have less freedom and I'll be managed more? Something's not computing here. So I tell people, look at your boss's boss. And that's a pretty good indication if you should leave that job or if you should stick it out. Because a lot of us are in good enough, right? It's a great job, making good money. I was making $250,000 at 23, 24 years old. It's pretty sick. Hard to leave the certainty of a good thing for the possibility of something great, right? So you know, I looked at my boss as a boss and I go, uh-oh, I don't want to be you whatsoever. And at that point, that's when like the snowball started rolling down the hill and I realized I could see the writing on the wall and realized I had to plan my escape. So then at that point, I started buying real estate, which we can get into that. I started up my own media company, my own podcast, the Action Academy podcast, which I've done across 33 countries now and 8 time zones every single day for 2 years. Haven't missed, over 2 years now, which leads to what happens next. I end up leaving that job in March of 2022, hopping on a one-way flight to Greece, lived in Greece for a month, traveled full-time around the world for 8 months. And then now a year and a half later, I'm still not bankrupt, still traveling. And now I'm about to go to Mexico City after recording this for 10 days. And then I'm going to Hawaii. So for January. So still working.
I love hearing that. So what was the impetus, first of all, that got you on this? I know that there was a moment that kind of triggered you and all these events that were leading up, the snowball that was getting ready to take off. There was something that happened around COVID that put you on this trajectory where you were just like, you claimed ownership of everything in the future. What was that event?
Yeah. So during COVID, I mean, it's a pretty universal experience with all of us during that time period. That was when I made the mountaintop. Like that's when I climbed everything. I won all the awards was that year, 2020. And we ran a fiscal year. So that June was the end of our year. So before COVID, like I was murdering it. I was crushing it. And then so we get to the end and I've maxed out all my bonuses, all my comp plan. I know I'm going to get a check for $82,000 and one check, which is double my salary. And I was just over the moon about that. I was so excited. And then all of a sudden, you know, you win the awards and then they send you to Hawaii or wherever for President's Club and they walk you on stage and present you with the awards. And so I'd been visualizing that moment, you know, for 4.5 years up to that point, giving everything I had to that job. And then COVID happens. And they canceled that meeting. They canceled the award ceremony. What it ended up being was a five-hour PowerPoint with my slide at the end. Congrats, by the way, Brian, Rep of the Year. And then they mailed me the trophy, and then they took away the bonus. So I was just like, what? They said, can you be on this conference call real quick? I said, okay. And they're like, it's with sincere regret that we have to inform all of you that all bonuses for Q4 are void because of the impact the COVID-19 pandemic has had on our bottom line. And I was like, oh, you know, talk about getting punched, right? In the moment, I was just like, that was one of the worst things that ever happened. Imagine $82,000 getting lit on fire in front of you. For me at that time, that was life-changing money. And I'd already had plans for where I was going to invest it, the trips I was going to go on, all the different stuff. And that happened. And so that's a good example of life happening for us, not to us, because in the moment, you know, I couldn't go anywhere or do anything. Also, like that was in shutdown when everybody was like actually believing we had to shut down in the very beginning. So nobody, like that was when all the restaurants were closed and everything. And so I just had to sit there, couldn't go to the gym, couldn't go outside. Like I just sat there and I had to deal with it. And that was when I realized, I was like, okay, I am done with this. I'm never doing this again. All the money I'm going to make from now on is going to be for myself and myself alone. And looking back, you know, if that hadn't have happened, I'd probably still be working that job. So life happens for us, not to us. And it wasn't personal. Nobody in corporate said, oh, let's screw Brian over. You know, it was everyone. So it wasn't personal. It was just business. But that's how corporate works. You're just a machine. You're just a number on a spreadsheet. And at any given moment, you could be fired. And we're seeing that a lot in today's economy. So you need to have financial backing. You need to have an escape plan because you may not be hankering to leave your job right now because you like the security, but you need to have something. You need to have the optionality in case something bad happens.
I think that you have something that pushes you and drives you. I love that you decided to take ownership of this and then create a beautiful business that allows you to travel the world and do the things that you want to do on your own terms. But one thing I love about you is you have a mission. You have a mission to help liberate other people from this. Tell me a little bit more about your ultimate mission with what you're doing and who you're looking to help and how you're looking to help them.
Yeah, that's changed a lot, you know. So that's the thing about vision, right? Is most people have no idea where they're going. So of course you're anxious, right? Of course you're not where you want to be. You feel like you're behind. Dude, duh. Like, you don't even know where there is. Of course you don't feel like you're there. Of course you don't feel like you're doing enough. Of course you feel like you're behind. You've never established where there is, ever. And we're all walking around like this, and we're all running and driving these cars down this endless highway, and we're wondering why we're unhappy and we're unfulfilled, right? So, you know, it started, the original vision was I was working that corporate job, and then in 2020, I wrote out this freaking three-year vision. I said, if I could wave a magic wand in 3 years, what would my life and my business look like? I said, man, I'd walk out of my balcony, and I'd be in Mykonos, and I could feel the sun on the hitting me, and it's just like I have all morning free to do what I want when I want with who I want and calls of my team in the afternoon of my own business that I can operate anywhere in the world. And I had this vision, and I had it all on like this poster board too that I put in my office. And so that was the original vision, and then I pulled it off, right? I did everything I've ever wanted. Again, so this was the second time of that happening. The first time was corporate. The second time was for myself. So in which we can get into like the back, you know, of how I financially pulled that off, of course, during this podcast. But, you know, I did it, and I landed in Greece, and I was in Greece for a month. I was in Mykonos, Santorini, and Crete, Athens, all around, Paxos. And after 3 weeks, I was hungover and sunburnt. And I was like, oh, this isn't as fulfilling as I thought it would be. You know, what's next? And nobody tells you about this stuff. Like, everyone acts like financial freedom is the end. Like, congrats, you won the game. I was like 27 years old at that time. And I was looking around. I was like, okay, I feel like there's a lot of life after this. So that's where my, you know, ideas changed. Financial freedom is only the first level of freedom. Financial freedom is where your life begins, not where it ends. So then there's time freedom and mental freedom afterwards. So I had financial freedom. I had time freedom because I'd left my job. So I could do literally what I want, when I want, with who I want. My calendar was my own. And so I spent the next like 6 months traveling around. I went all over Europe and then Latin America, Brazil for a couple of months. And I was lacking, you know, the capital F word, fulfillment. And so that's what happens when you don't need the money anymore. You know, people that don't have money, all they think about is money. People that do have money rarely think about money. And so I'm looking for meaning, purpose, passion, fulfillment. Because when a winner stops winning, they're no longer a winner. And people don't think about this. Because once you're able to economically retire, air quotes, you're unable to emotionally or mentally retire. So retirement isn't the answer. So I'm on this beach in Brazil, Copacabana in Rio de Janeiro. And as I'm walking down the beach, I'm just racking my brain of what's next. Like, there has to be some type of answer to all of this, right? And the thought comes into my brain. I was like, I need to go from me to we. I was like, whoa, hold on a second. That's a cool little catchphrase, me to we. Because I realized, like, I'm good. And a lot of people listening to this are good. Like, you're probably making six figures, you know, or close to it in your corporate job. And like, that's good enough. But now I was like, I'm already set. I want to help other people. And then it just was like a freaking lightning bolt. So then everything accumulated into that. We can go into how I created the business, how I launched the business, all that stuff. But, you know, long story short, fast forward a year and a half after that moment, and everything I've done since that point has been in the pursuit of helping a million other people leave jobs that they hate to build and lead lives that they love. And so what I call that is passionate income. So we use passive income as the tool to yield what's called passionate income, which is work that you can get paid for that you would happily do for free. The Japanese call it your ikigai. It's the meaning of life. You know, the intersection of what you're great at, what the world wants, what the market needs, and what you can get paid for. So that's what I'm seeking to help other people find. Mine happened to be podcasting and real estate, and running all of this is my passionate income. I love it. And now our journey and our mission today, after a year and a half of, you know, being a business owner, is we unlock entrepreneurs. That's what we do. And so as we've gone about the business, we've made the realization fast, because some people would come in and they would thrive. And some people would come in and just buck the entire system. And they just didn't seem to move. And we couldn't figure out why. Because we're doing all the right stuff. We're giving them all the support that they needed. But they couldn't find the motivation to just do the thing. They would just sit on their hands and do nothing. And then I realized, not everyone's meant to be an entrepreneur. Most aren't. Like 90% probably, 95% are probably not meant to be an entrepreneur. So the people that are meant to be entrepreneurs, like it's not a light switch. Like you've always been meant to be an entrepreneur. It's just you've been a square peg that they've like sanded the edges off so you can fit into a round hole. And so we unlock entrepreneurs. So we're the ones that are like, yo, you've been this your entire life. You've been a go-getter. You've been an action taker. You've been a type A heat-seeking missile. You've always bucked the system, even in school. And now you finally reached the point where you've taken the red pill and hopped out of the matrix, and now you need to find your people. And so we unlock entrepreneurs. That's what we do. And we help them do it through passive income, through real estate and business acquisition.
I love that. So I read an article in Forbes magazine that said like 72% of people hate their job to the point where they wouldn't wish it on their worst enemy. What holds people back the most? Like, what are some of the ways that you can tell who is an entrepreneur at their core? I'm glad I had that as one of my questions is should everybody be an entrepreneur? And what you're describing is not everybody is made to do this, but there's 10% do. How do you tell who is the type of person who will go out there and make it happen? And what about the people who try and try, but they just don't have those breakthroughs?
I mean, it's the risk reward ratio. So, I mean, you need to be excited at the idea of risk and doing your own thing, of blazing your own trail. If that doesn't inherently excite you, then, you know, it's perfectly fine to work a job. It's just like you just need to decide what level of hard that you want. You can choose your own hard, you know. There's a quote I love called choose your hard. Marriage is hard. Divorce is hard. Choose. Health is hard. Obesity is hard. Choose. You know, financial freedom, becoming a millionaire through real estate and business acquisition is hard. You know, working a job you hate until you're 70 years old with only 2 weeks of PTO each year is hard. Choose your hard. And so it's just that conscious choice. You know, some people, like in every entrepreneur that I've met, is it's like once you've got the bug, you're never going to stop. Like there is no way that I will ever go back because come hell or high water, I will find a way out of it. So it's just, you know, that drive, that buck against traditional systems. So if you've gone through college and you've gone through school and you've gone through corporate and you're like, why do we have to do things this way? Why can't we do them this way? And then you just get ignored. That's probably a pretty good sign, you know, and you don't need it. I'm not talking Elon Musk's or being Zuckerberg's of the world. I'm just talking about building your own business because or buying a business or buying real estate. You know, all these options are out there and the information is out there as well for free. It's the internet, you know, so everyone's so stuck at how. How is the easiest part. It's where and who that are the hard parts.
Brian, tell me about the roadmap of what you did. How did you make that happen?
Yeah, so I started with real estate. So I started with what I call building your financial foundation. So when you're leaving a job, especially a six-figure job, some people may think that it's easier and some people will think that it's more difficult. So the way that I see it is, you know, after interviewing like 479 multimillionaires on my podcast, it's all about perspective because the guys that were making $40,000 a year before they made it, right, they didn't have any money. So they had to learn creative financing and they needed to learn how to invest and do things without their own money because it didn't exist. Now, on the flip side, then you've got the high income earners that are, you know, saving up their money and then they're investing it, you know, buying a house a year, which is what I started doing in the beginning. And then it's very difficult for them to have the idea of using other people's money. And that's like very foreign for them. They're like, I would never invest somebody else's money. I don't understand that. Why would I do that? But that's where scale comes from. And so I start with, you know, you build your financial foundation. So the first thing you do is you figure out how much money do you need to replace that job, right? And there's three income levels, three passive income levels. There's survive, arrive, and thrive. So survive is your baseline fixed expenses, your mortgage, your rent, your food on the table, your bills. You're not going out to eat, you're not having fun, but you're good. So that's survive. Arrive is now you have some discretionary spending. Now you can go out a little bit on a budget, have more of a normal type of life. Thrive is your six-figure income is completely replaced. Like you can do whatever you want, when you want, with who you want. So for me, survive was $4,000 a month, arrive was $6,500 a month, and then thrive was $20,000 a month. So first thing I tackled was survive because for anybody that's making good money, it's very challenging and intimidating to view the idea of investing because you're like, how the hell am I going to eat this elephant? And the answer is one bite at a time, right? So Survive, for me, $4,000 a month. I was buying a house a year, so called the house hack strategy, where I buy a single family house, I live in one bedroom, I rent the other bedrooms out. So the ancient Egyptians called this having roommates, right? But now it's just sexy because it's called the co-living strategy. But what I would do is I buy 5-bed, 4-bathroom houses, split level. So it's almost like a duplex. So I'd buy them with 2 kitchens. So a kitchen upstairs, kitchen downstairs. The upstairs unit I'd rent out as a 3-bed, 2-bath, pretty traditional, just to a family or whatever. And then downstairs, I'd normally have a roommate in the other bedroom. You know, so we'd have 2 beds downstairs, our own kitchen, our own bathrooms. So it worked out really, really cool. The first one I bought was in like 2019. I bought that for like $300,000, put 5% down, lived in one part, rented the other rooms out. And then I did the same thing the next year. I rent bought another one for like $400,000, you know, lived in one part, put 5% down, rented the other rooms out. And then at the end, by the time I left, those were both cash flowing me about $1,600 each per month. So I was making about $4,000 a month net cash flow passively. And I was living for free. So at that point, while I was making all this money, so I was like, okay, like my baseline is covered. So then, you know, I'll pause right there for any like other clarifying questions you have on real estate, or we can dive into like the media and the rest of that business that made up the remainder of that money. Because for people listening that are doing math, there's a difference between 20,000 and 4,000.
Yeah. The one question I do have is, are you able to do real estate remotely? Because that's something I'm very interested in about, is like doing business online. It's kind of the core of this podcast. And I was able to finally break through a limiting belief that I had about, you know, real estate and being able to do it online. But is this something you participate on? Like, does it have to be local? Or are you able to put real estate deals together anywhere in the world or anywhere in the country?
Yeah, I've invested in real estate from all around the world. It's an absolute limiting belief, but you just need to do it with, you know, a team. It's a team sport. And that's everyone's problem. When you're first starting to invest, you try to do like based off of you. It's just solo dolo, which is what most people probably are doing that listen to this podcast. But you have a people problem. Like, people are the answer. And so like for you, because you've never invested in out-of-state real estate before, I could do that easily because I have people in all these other states. And I'm like, okay, well, David's over in Kansas City and he's already investing in real estate there. I have what's called boots on the ground. So those people are already over there. So it's like in a real estate transaction, you need to have one or two parts of a triangle. So it's called the deal triangle. You need to have the money, the knowledge, or the hustle. That's it. So all those three combined make up a real estate transaction. So if you have the money, cool. Well, then you can invest the money and you get the money of the deal, and somebody else in Kansas City or wherever else can, you know, go find the deal, operate the deal. You're completely hands off. If you don't have money, then you need to be the hustle. So now you're having to go and like find the properties, fix the properties up, manage the properties, and you can use somebody else's money. So you become dangerous when you have two of the three of the triangle. So knowledge is something that's directly, you know, and it's an input that you can directly control. So, you know, in the beginning, you have to learn as you hustle. And you have to be fixing up the houses, finding the deals. But then now, the stage I'm in today, I have the knowledge and I have the capital. So I can just be like, hey, I've got $300,000. Like, you over here, you're the best operator in the country. I'm going to invest with you. Take this down. I don't have to think about it. And that's passive income, right? So yes, you can invest out of state, but that's a very limiting belief that most people have in the beginning, especially if they're trying to do it by themselves.
Absolutely. I love that. Tell me about your media company. Here's one why I'm geeking out on this part is I feel like every business needs traffic in some form or another. If you get the best ice cream shop in the world, if it's not on a busy street with traffic, you're not going to make a lot of sales. Online, you've done an amazing job with your podcast, with your social followings. I'm a geek about traffic. I feel like that's the new decentralized cryptocurrency. But tell me about how the angle that you've taken with creating your media company and how you create passive income from that.
Yeah, so it's not passive income. I'll say that. It's passionate income because I actively work at it. And I work more on this than I ever worked in my corporate job. Like, I probably work 100 hours a week on this because I freaking love it. Now, it's like eventually, you know, it can become passive, but you know, most things in life, I think passive income isn't the answer. I think passive income, like I said, as a tool to yield passionate income, and then you work through the life cycle of business. So before we go into the business, let's talk about like the life cycle of business so people can truly understand, because this is what I really, really enjoy talking about more than anything is business and entrepreneurship. So how business works and what most people get wrong is they basically build themselves another job. That's what they do. Especially these solopreneurs that's so sexy now, being a solopreneur. Yeah, dude, you're going to have a life of hell if you do this for the most part. Like, there's very few exceptions that are able to do it really well through automation. But for the most part, what you're doing is you're building yourself another job. If you build an online course, you have to continue to market and market and market and market. So it's an active position, right? So you want to go from that self-employed to that of business owner. So that's in Robert Kiyosaki's book, Cash Flow Quadrants. So you go from self-employed to business owner. So going from there to there is getting your systems, your automation, and your delegations down to where this thing runs without you. So the business architecture, how business works, is you go from I do to we do to they do. Now, this becomes increasingly easy as we have automation and AI now. That we do can be, you know, padded by AI and like Zapier and all these different automations and tools. I use Thrivecart and all these really great cart tools and all these follow-up sequences, etc. But you really need to be able to do the thing, then do the thing together as with a team, and then have the team do the thing without you. Then it's passive income. So when we're about at $3 million a year and I have a full-time CEO that's hired for my company, then that's when I'll consider it as passive income. But right now, like, we're going balls to the freaking wall, man. So how we started it was I started up the podcast, Action Academy Podcast, and I was just like, this is fun. I want to do this, you know, for free. And that's where passionate income is rooted in. What do you already do that's super fun for you that you could do for free forever, right? And that could be anything. Like, that could be any service, any... If you want to be a candle maker in Colorado, like, make the hell out of those candles. Like, hell yeah. Like, there's a market for it, I promise you. So start with what you're inherently curious about. And it's funny that you said ice cream, right? Because in my book, I write about Jenny's Splendid Ice Cream, which is like a huge, huge, huge company in America now. Huge ice cream brand. And Jenny did this thing called finding her uniqueness. So she took a commodity, ice cream, and then she differentiated herself with learning perfumery. Like, I'd never even heard of that word before, but she went and studied scent. Like, the science of scent is called perfumery. And I didn't understand that. So she combined the two things, rare and valuable skill one, rare and valuable skill two, put them together, and then that's what made Jenny's ice cream explode into a multi-hundred million dollar valuation. So Naval Ravikant has a really cool quote on this. He goes, you see a bear, you see a unicycle. You say, so what? You see a bear riding a unicycle, you say, hell yeah, give me, yeah, like, I'll pay money for this. And that's how you establish what business that you start, is that. Find your bear on a unicycle. Like, right now, you have a skill set. I guarantee it, everyone has these skill sets and zones of genius that just needs one complementary skill set to make it unique. So you mentioned crypto, right? So as the crypto, but like, whole rise was going in like 2017, you had people that were good at crypto and then people that were good at marketing. So now you create marketing for crypto companies, right? And now you've got $100 million business idea. Right now, everyone's doing the same thing with AI. Is they're being like, okay, I've been in healthcare for 30 years. Now I'm learning about AI and building this complementary skill set. Let's disrupt healthcare through AI, right? How many times have we heard this? There's literally a country, I think it's like Antigua or something, that has the .AI on the back, and they're leasing it out to all these AI companies, and they're making hundreds of millions of dollars for the national GDP through leasing out their domain name, .AI. It's hilarious. That's a cool business model too.
That's brilliant. I can see you completely lighting up about this topic.
Yeah, so I started up the podcast, and it's important because attention is the new oil. So attention is the most important thing, like, now. It's the most important commodity. So I did the podcast, and I had no intention of monetizing it. I just knew exactly who I was speaking to and what I helped them with. So I helped corporate high performers replace their corporate with cash flow through real estate business acquisition. So I started interviewing all these multimillionaires, have them on the pod, did it for a year. Like, this is super fun. And then all of a sudden, I started getting these calls, you know, from my coach that I was using in these mastermind groups I was in. And they would be like, yo, man, like you're bringing in a bunch of people for us. You know, like a bunch of people are joining because of your podcast. I was like, oh, that's cool. They're like, yeah, we'll give you a cut. I was like, why? They're like, oh, as an affiliate. I was like, what the hell is an affiliate? And they're like, dude, we'll give you like 10%. These are like $12,000 packages. And I was like, oh, did I just accidentally make like $8,000? Yeah. And so that's where my affiliate relationship began. So in 2022, on the Action Academy podcast, made $167,000, like $427 for, because I just did my taxes. So that was super fun as an affiliate. Then come fast forward to the end of the year, well, kind of midway through the year, and we come back to the story of me walking on the beach, going from me to we. I was being an affiliate, I was doing all that stuff. And I was doing the numbers, and I said, wait a second, what the hell? I was like, I'm making 10%, you know, let's multiply that by 10. I was like, so these companies, I'm generating like millions of dollars for other companies through my podcast, through my channels. Like, I can do something. And so what's happened next was in Brazil, I was like, I need to figure out what my thing is. So I'm going to help other people, you know, do what I did, replace their corporate job with cash flow so they can quit their job, travel around the world, build their own business, right? So everyone would immediately leap into solitude to start their online course, right? Wrong. Don't do that. You are going to end in death, despair, and misery. Don't do that. Please don't. Like, otherwise, you're going to come back and you're going to be like, what the hell did I do? Because what everyone does wrong and why all these businesses fail is because nobody does this magical thing called talking to your customer. So they build the thing as if they will come. That's not how business works. If you build it, they will not come. If you build what they want, they will come. So the easiest way to figure out, how do you determine what they want? You effing ask them. So what I did before I started doing all this online course stuff, and I went on my podcast and I said, yo, I left my job and I'm traveling around the world, and you guys want to leave your job and travel around the world. And so I will do 100 phone calls for free for 15 minutes with all of you. So here's my calendar. My personal calendar, book away. And over the next month, I did 100 calls, so 15-minute calls. And I asked them the same questions, you know, where are you at today? Where are you trying to get to? What are the roadblocks in between? I would just coach them for free. That's what I did for a month, a lot. It was my entire schedule, call after call after call after call. So my schedule looked like my VP from the very beginning of the conversation. And after 100 calls, I damn well knew who my customer was and what their problems were. So afterwards, I went and I started building up an online course because I thought that was going to be the answer. So I spent a month doing this from morning to night, 52-hour course. And for anybody that's made a course, they understand how much work filming a freaking course takes. It's a lot. And so I made the course, and halfway through, I wasn't even done with it yet. I shoot out an email to the 100 people that I coached for free because I just helped them, level with value. I said, hey guys, doing this course, this will like solve all of your problems. $1,500? Is that good? And just question mark. And then I just put like, I say, like, here's my Venmo. Like, here's my Cash App. Just like Cash App me or whatever. And then like, I'll give you the course in 2 weeks when it's finished. And I made $100,000 in 48 hours. So that was fun. You know? And that's called product market fit. So it's the same thing in Peter Thiel, what he talks about, Y Combinator, and all these companies do, like at a large scale. There's a cool book called Zero to One that talks about this stuff as well. And it's called Your Minimum Viable Product, your MVP. So that course was my MVP. I put the thing out there. They loved it. But then I realized, you know, and this is like kind of my flag that I'm planting in the ground right now, is I think, you know, over the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to pivot away from just purely online course models to community models, because people are craving that one-on-one interaction and that hand-holding again, like we used to have in the like apprenticeship mentorship model. And so in my course, you had these like, man, I think what was it, like 60 people, 70 people signed up. And as we were going through, I put them on a Facebook group and they started doing deals together. And I was like, wait a second. And I would be asking them for feedback. What's your favorite part? And they're like, dude, you know, I met Henry, I met Eric, I met Tyler, we're crushing it. I met Caitlin, we're partnering up on these deals. was like, dude, y'all don't even care about the course. Like, y'all are here for the people. And I was like, oh, I've got the wrong business model. So I completely revamped my business model to the community model and the ARR model. So it's a recurring annual commitment instead of the one-time course model. So, you know, that helped from the customer perspective, because now it's like giving the customer what they actually want and need. And now we've built up a thriving community with hundreds of people in it, and it's the greatest thing ever. And it also helps from the business perspective in so many ways, which we can get into on the back end. So I'll pause there and you can take it any direction you want to take it.
Yes, I do have one angle that I want to dive into that's in your book. I feel so lucky that I was able to get a copy of your book ahead of the release this episode, and I want to talk about that as well. So where I wanted to go next is I wanted to ask you about visualization. You and I are both big fans of visualization, but what I love about what I read in your book was you talk about something called the vivid visualization or the vivid vision, and it gets a lot more tangible than what most people do when it comes to visualization. And when I was a kid, I remember getting into mindset personal development, and I thought visualization was just like the way a lot of people described it was looking at yourself up on a TV and seeing yourself up on the screen. But what I love about what you wrote in your book is you talked about how to get extremely tactile about this, how to get it, how to actually feel this. Would you tell my audience a little bit more about what it is that you do? What is the vivid vision or vivid visualization?
Yeah. So vivid vision is from originally the concept is from my friend Cameron Harold, who wrote the book Vivid Vision. And I included a whole section of about him in my book. So like he's alluding to, guys, I do have a book. I wrote it, spent 1,137 hours this year writing that book. And it's called From Passive to Passionate, How to Quit Your Job, Grow Your Wealth, and Turn Your Passions into Profits, which is everything we talk about. So yeah, the vivid vision is super cool. And that's the clarity we were talking about before, which is where you need an end destination to work towards. Because what the vision does is the opposite of what people think it does. They're like, okay, if I have a vision, I know what to say yes to. Not really. Your vision tells you what to say no to, because strategy is a set of self-imposed constraints on decision-making. So for me, say, I want to travel around the world. Therefore, every decision I make and every income stream has to be digital and remote and scalable. So like that took away real estate investing for me at the time, because I was just like, I need to build up, you know, something remote. And that's where that podcast, like the spotlight was shown on it, because I was like, that's directly with my vision. So your vision, you write out like this whole document. And my first vision was 8 pages long, like with everything. I was like, I wake up, here's what a day looks like. Here's what my business looks like. Here's what my wealth looks like. Here's what my routine looks like. Here's what my health looks like. You know, everything I wrote out. And I do that today. I have a personal and I have a business vision. So I've got one for my life and one for my business. And sometimes things change. Like I did not have be a best-selling author or write a book in my vision originally, but then that got added to it. So it serves as like a guidepost, but it's a living, breathing organism.
You mentioned in your book, there's I think 6 different pillars that help you to define this, describe it. Can you tell me a little bit more about that location, routine? There were 6 pillars in there.
Oh Lord, yeah. I just came up with those for the book because people struggle with making their vision so much. There's really so many different ways to go about it, but I just basically start with making like this giant mind map, is what I call it. This isn't in Vivid Vision. This is like how I articulated it, because I was just like, okay, this is difficult for me to visualize. Let me come up with some tactic here. So it's like you write out your core things like he's talking about. So you write out like location, routine, health, wealth, business, and you write out all these and you just bubble them. And then you start doing these little bubbles off of it of like, you know, little buzzwords. You're just brain dumping onto a page. So you're like, okay, health, like, you know, like in wealth and all this stuff, like location, I'm in Greece. Like I want to be somewhere where it's sunshine. I want to be in the mountains. I want to be by the ocean, you know. Like, this is where I'd like to live. I want to be abroad. I want to be here. You know, and even if somebody's listening to this and they just want to, like, have that cabin in Vermont, right? Then, cool, put that cabin in Vermont. And then we start there, and then we start crafting, like, okay, routine. Like, what does your routine look like? You know, what's your morning look like? What's your evening look like? What's your family look like? You know, what's your relationships look like? And one by one, you just start brain dumping. And then that's the bones, like, the skeleton of your vision. And then you start filling in the details in between. So like that was the fun part. And there's some parts, you know, that completely don't come true, but my grand vision came true how I went about it was completely different than I anticipated. So that's another thing that I struggled with when I wrote my first vision was I was trying to be hyper-tactical with it. Don't do that. Just write out your life as you want it. Don't focus on the tactics or the how. Don't say, and I pulled this off. I'm in this cabin in Vermont, and I pulled this off through my online course that I did over 2 years is making $100,000 a month. Like, I wouldn't put that. Just put, I'm in a cabin in Vermont next to my wife or husband. Like, we're sipping coffee, and then we're doing all these things. And then the tactics will appear afterwards. But I was too tactical in the beginning.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Let's talk about your book. So when we drop this episode, it is going to be the day that you launch this. Who is this book for? And what is the book about?
This book is for a high-performing corporate employee that has realized that buying a house a year or investing in the stock market is just not going to get them their freedom anytime soon. It's for that person that realizes that they can't do this 65-year, 70-year corporate sprint anymore, and they want to do what they want when they want with who they want, and they need a freaking tactical roadmap. So, you know, we talk about the art and the science. The art is the vision, and then the science is the tactical implementation of that vision. So that's the following chapters. Is you start with where are you going, and then you break down cash flow goals, and then we talk about the tactics and strategies of buying real estate, of buying businesses, and starting your own business, etc. And so that's who it's for, is for that person that's like, they're missing clarity, they're missing confidence. They see these people getting these mentors, communities, coaches, and they're like, how the hell did you find those people? How do you find capital partners? And they're so confused about that. They don't understand real estate or anything yet. And so we break it down every single step of the way. So this book was actually the course that I made and charged $1,500 for, is the book. And after hundreds of people going through the course and telling me like what parts they loved, what parts they wanted more of, that's what allowed me to write the book, you know, a year later. So the book is like the $1,500 course for $14. So I've gotten it as close to free as possible.
I love that. I have read the book and I am so excited for this to launch because I think it just flows so well. There's been so many pieces and nuggets that I've grabbed over the year, but you did such a great job of creating a consistent flow of everything for exactly who you're talking to. So we're going to drop a link to this book in the show notes. It's called Passive to Passionate. And then also, Brian, your podcast is Action Academy Podcast. Is that right? And what about your Instagram page?
It's just my name, Brian Lubin. You can go watch me post videos on stuff, but the podcast is the main meat and potatoes. The podcast is the fun stuff.
Well, I appreciate you taking this time to jam out with me. I know your voice is starting to hurt because you've been on so many podcasts and getting this book out, and you're going to head down to Mexico. So I wish you the most amazing journey. Any last words for the audience?
Guys, you know, you may be tempted to leap into action after this. You're like, I don't need a vision. I just need to learn how to start an online course, or, you know, do this online business or buy real estate. Like, doing the vision stuff is just the cheat code. I'm telling you guys, like, It's not a nice to have, it's a need to have. I've interviewed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of the richest, the most successful and wealthy people that you have ever met or can imagine. And every single one of them had the exact same baseline here. They all agreed it's all about the vision. The vision is what is the cheat code. Because then if you know what you want, and you're crystal clear on it, life unlocks for you. So I would challenge you guys to focus on your clarity first, which will yield the confidence, and then eventually the cash flow. So thanks for having me.
Beautiful. So your call to action is to drop into the show notes right now. Don't do it later. Go right now and order Brian's book. Thank you so much for joining me here. I'll catch you on the next episode.
Thanks, guys.